Hey guys, it's Michael from Family Game Review, and today I got with me...
Camille.
Sweet.
Hey everyone.
And today we're going to do a unique podcast. Normally we were going to do the whole Pokemon Go podcast today, but something caught my eye the other day, and it was about microtransactions. And today I felt, especially with this day and age and with Pokemon Go, microtransactions are taking over the world of freemium gaming. We'll get more into that topic in a moment. But we are going to do a Pokemon Go and safety for yourself, for your children, best practices and so forth. But today it's going to be about microtransactions.
And I'd like to chime in, as I usually do, and just say that, you know, every media outlet is covering Pokemon Go right now, the Pokemon Go craze, and people who have been hurt, injured, assaulted, and naturally, Family Gamer Review is concerned about all of those aspects because... that's what Family Gamer Review is all about. It's about safe family gaming. However, there is another part of these free apps, free downloads, and free games, whether it's on your phone or the computer or the console, that you may not know about. And Mike mentioned microtransaction. Well, what's microtransaction? What's freemium? I'll let Mike explain what it is, but I want to give you an idea of the gravity of how important this is. If any of you remember in the 80s, those 976 phone numbers that charged you several dollars a minute, if you have ever, whether it was for a psychic or counseling or a secret lover, whatever, they were so expensive. And I think everybody either experienced or knew someone who had the experience of getting a phone bill one month and saying, oh my gosh, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. And to give you an idea, Pokemon Go is a free download. Mike, how much have they made since...
This number is astounding. I mean, I'm not surprised. This is Nintendo going through a third-party company making Pokemon Go. They've made, for a free game, understand the gravity of this number, in 1 week, over microtransactions, they've made over $14 million. That means $2 million a day in the U.S. alone... for a game that was considered free.
And microtransactions sounds like a fancy financial world for what's coming out of your pocket. So $2 million a day in the first week of Pokemon Go is coming out of players' pockets or players' parents' pockets without their knowledge. And that's why we feel this podcast is so important. Mike, where does the word freemium come in? Most people hear, oh, free app, free download. What is freemium and what is a microtransaction?
And this is where it gets interesting. Now, this kind of goes back, and this kind of dates us in a way, to the 90s, where Windows 95 comes out, all of a sudden PC gaming is now coming more mainstream. The personal computer, or PC, is now available at home. The internet is starting to become more readily available. So developers are saying, well, wait a minute. Why am I going to spend this much money on trying to market and brand my game where I could offer it at a low or no cost just to entice someone to download and install the game and then make my money back by in-game purchases? Now, this practice has been around since day one. A lot of developers have been going on and off of it. As the console era came with the Xbox and the PlayStation 2, and then Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and now with the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, it is more of a way for a developer to make more money off of their product. I'll give the best example, Grand Theft Auto 5. Grand Theft Auto 5 is a phenomenal game. It's not meant for children, but in the game, you could spend up to $100 real-life currency if you want $8 million of in-game currency. Understand, real currency versus in-game currency. So for some people that don't want to wait and they want to level up their character, or for people that played like Candy Crush Saga or the Farmville games, where you have to buy like extra energy versus like if someone sends it to you. This is how a developer makes money. Now, there's been a very scary trend as of late where children get into a competitive state in a freemium style game. I'll give you an example. I play two games on the Xbox One, Battle Isles and Battle Ages, and they're both free games. You could pretty much play and enjoy the game without making any in-game purchase. However, and I want to look at Camille's eyes when I say this number, I've probably spent almost $120 in between both games in the past year and a half on microtransactions because the developer feels like by giving me certain attributes that I could purchase in real-world currency, that I could use it in in-game to better my character or better my stats or do whatever I need to do.
And I could smack them.
Yeah, she could
smack them. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of the transactions were actually made so that we could get snapshots for the blog, which you will see, as always, with FGR Family Gamer Review. We try to give you the information in whichever way you are going to take it best. Podcast, blog, whatever, video, whatever the case may be. So you're going to see some of these screenshots. And, Mike, I'm sorry to jump in.
No, please, go ahead.
But I want to simplify even further. What do you mean in-game purchases? What do you mean? And let me touch on this for a moment. Number one, tell me if this business model sounds familiar. The first time is free. The download is free. The game is free. But once you get into the game, if you want to advance more quickly in the game, well, next time you come, you have to pay. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, this is not a podcast knocking microtransactions. Microtransactions are actually good for the industry, for developers.
Yes.
And I'm going to give my counterargument now, and we'll go into this more in a bit. Microtransactions help a developer that has a game that they are questionable about releasing, because if a developer invests $1 million into a game, for an example, and they know that the market at that time where their game is like a first-person shooter, but at the time where they want to release their game, there are 7 other companies, for an example, that are releasing first-person shooters that have invested multi-million dollars into their game. So they don't want to get caught at the lower end of that spectrum for the buying persona of people to say, okay, well, I could go buy a Call of Duty or a Battlefield or a Titanfall. Why do I need to buy, this game? So they offer it for free in exchange to give the player the ability to play a game for free, interact with others. Most of these freemium style games are either cooperative, competitive, or a combination of both that entice you to play with others.
In other words, it's sort of like almost like a pay-as-you-go. And the pay-as-you-go is optional. Like Michael said, you could play these games indefinitely for free. Believe it or not, $120 in Battle Islands over the time span of
a year and a half.
A year and a half. That's nothing. Now, Mike did raise a good point in that this is sort of entrepreneurship for game developers. This is a way to even the playing field for smaller game developers and let them break into the market. And if they're talented, they will make it. If the game is good, they will make it. This podcast is about the microtransactions that you don't know are taking place. The bill that's going to show up that you're not expecting. Mike, I know that you have at least a couple examples of friends who received bills. Tell us about those.
I don't want to name names out of respect of their privacy, but I had a friend that called me just yesterday that encouraged me to do this podcast today, where he had a $1,200 bill from Microsoft on his credit card because his son was making microtransactions in several games.
$1,200. $1,200.
Yes.
For how much time?
It was spanned from, I don't want to say which games, but it was spanned from different games for microtransactions. And the thing is, with microtransactions, we always encourage parents to be a part of your child or your gaming family's gaming. it becomes like a gambling addiction. Like, I'll give you my personal example. As I was playing Battle Isles and Battle Ages, I was enticed to go and spend that extra $10 to get that extra gold to build my army or build my defenses. I was enticed to say, okay, I'm sick of losing or I'm sick of being underpowered or something in this game. I want a quick jolt. It becomes sort of a gambling addiction. Like, I'll give an example of Halo. Halo 5. Phenomenal game. Phenomenal multiplayer. They included microtransactions where the game developer themselves has stated that microtransactions do not affect the game, which they do not. But for someone that wants to have more power-ups, so someone that wants to have the ability to call in an extra warthog or get a battle rifle at start, you're going to be more enticed to see that low price point of $249. Go to the Microsoft store and purchase that pack, the Warzone pack. And then all of a sudden you don't get what you want. Then you're enticed to do it again. Do you see the pattern in how gambling forms? My friend's son, that's what happened with him. He purchased a game. It wasn't Halo 5. He purchased another game. And within a month, he racked over $1,200 because he kept on saying to his father, I need to get stronger. I need to get more power-ups. I need to get this. And when we saw this pattern forming, not just with him, but with many children, when I go to my local GameStop, it's not anymore of purchasing the game, it's more of purchasing, you know, currency to transfer digitally to purchase microtransactions within the games.
Exactly, and I think, pardon me, I think another thing that we need to clarify that when it comes to these microtransactions, you know, how do they happen? First of all, they may be as low as 99 cents each. And so on the surface, it looks so harmless. It's less than a dollar. It's only 99 cents. Oh, I'll just get an extra pack of gems or something to boost up my ability to do this in the game. Or if I spend 99 cents, I can power up my defenses for my character. But the most important thing I think about our message in this podcast is you do not have to put your child in the car and drive them to GameStop for this to happen. They don't have to come to you, tug on your shirt and say, Mom or Dad, can you come to the console with me and put in a credit card number so I can get some power-ups? No, the games are set up so that without even skipping a beat, the player just has to tap the screen for, you know, say it pulls up a pile of gold bars, you know, in a game like
Battle Isles,
exactly. You know, it would really help me a lot with my defenses and my offenses if I had a bunch of extra gold bars. I could buy more equipment, weapons, whatever. It's only 99 cents. Boom. In the time that it took me to say that, a child could have just bought about $12 to $15 in microtransactions in that short amount of time. And you won't know it until that unexpected bill.
Yes, and that is correct. Now, again, we're not here to knock microtransactions. I see them personally, because I've followed the industry all my life, that for a smaller development company, this is the best way to have a low-risk investment go into the market to see how well it will do. Whether it's a volatile market where it's oversaturated with a game type, or a game type that they never thought would make money, and all of a sudden it did. Let's look at the example of Angry Birds. You know, Angry Birds has microtransactions, and the company itself made millions. And you may not even realize that when you say, you know, when you go with your child to GameStop or Best Buy, there's something called DLC, downloadable content. That is a form of microtransactions where they're saying, the developer saying to you, hey, here's the regular game, but we're adding more content throughout the year, which we are going to charge you for. Now, I give a lot of respect, you know, to the developers for Titanfall 2. They've made their DLC free. But again, that's another podcast for another time. What we're going to do is we're going to go over some steps for you as a parent or guardian or the head of a gaming family to protect yourself, your finances, and to make sure everyone has a great gaming experience. Now, I'm going to move the board over to Camille for a few moments if she wants to chime in, you know, anything else about microtransactions, and we'll go over some steps of what to do, how to secure your account, how to secure your child's account. And this is not just for the console, this is for your smartphones, your tablets, even for your PC.
And that's the most important thing. And Mike, I want you to get right to how parents or families can close the gap, because I think that's where the disconnect really lies. It's not that microtransactions in and of themselves are bad. It's the fact that the people who are responsible for paying the bills at the end of the month are not aware that these microtransactions are taking place. And you know, you gave one great example, $1,200, you know, probably over what, course of a couple weeks?
Within 30 days.
Within 30 days. What is, and I know that's not the only time that you receive such a phone call, what is the biggest, oh my gosh, phone call you've gotten from a parent?
Over $6,000.
Wow.
Let me give this average statistic. The average home that has a child or a gamer, we're not just saying it's just children, it's adults, I'm an example, okay, that would spend on microtransactions is almost $150 to $200 a month, depending on the platform, the type of game, and what currency and the type of transaction. So the average person would probably spend up to $150 to $200 on microtransactions on a certain game, just in a span of the game's life cycle.
I mean, look, if you do, let's take Pokemon Go again as an example, just for a moment. Do you think that there would be such a national craze if there wasn't a way to boost up in the game and make it more and more intense as the player is more and more engaged? We're seeing videos of people swarming Central Park and all sorts of things.
I thought that was funny, personally.
Yeah, it was funny, but, you know, I just, it's one thing if an adult knowingly and responsibly chooses to make microtransactions. I mean, Angry Birds was a free download, and look at what a part of pop culture it is today, from merchandise, stuffed animals, clothing,
movies.
None of that would have been possible without microtransactions. The point is, know how to be on the same page with someone else who has access to such a game so that you have a very clear understanding and agreement about, you know, the laws of your own land when it comes to spending money in freemium games or microtransactions.
Now, again, this is not to scare you parents or guardians or, you know, into thinking, oh my God, microtransactions are bad. This is just to inform you to understand that, you know, the last thing you want at the end of the month is when you get your e-statement or your statement over the mail and it says, hey, new transactions over the past month shows this much amount of money. And then you're questioning it. And you gotta also understand, the person that's playing the game, a game is to win. It's to have fun, but it's also the objective is to win the game. And microtransactions kind of give you that little boost. So, of course, a person's going to say, hey, you know, I'm only going to pay 99 cents. What's the harm in 99 cents? But over the past couple of years, you're hearing more and more horror stories of parents saying, oh my God, my child bought one 99 cent pack, and now look how much money he has racked up. And it becomes very much of a burden to people. So, let's go into some of the steps. Number one, if you're on the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One, you could create a parent account, which is the primary account where the credit card is on. You know, these consoles now, you know, to go online, you have to, you know, put in a credit card for one form or another. You could set restrictions and set other gaming members in your family to have child accounts. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, they can't still not make purchases. It just means that you have more control over when somebody says, okay, I want to buy this. you know, you could then say, okay, well, they have to get the password from the parent account to do so. There's steps online. I will post them onto the blog of how to set up for both PlayStation Network and Xbox Live a parent account and how to, you know, fortify your credit card information. Number two, a lot of things that people don't know. If you want your child to have the ability to be responsible with microtransactions, get them a prepaid debit card that they could use on their account, and then just load it with enough finance for them to use it. I've used this with my daughter where she plays a game. I can't remember the name of the title, but my ex-wife and I set a $20 budget for her every month for her to use on any digital downloads that she wants and everything. But because she understands that she only has $20 to spend, she's more conscious and aware of it, and she realizes that once that $20 is gone, there's no other way to get these boosts. This also teaches your children financial responsibility, as that they have to weigh, okay, do I want this $5 in-game app, or do I want to spend this $5 on another game? Camille, you're raising your hand.
I actually do raise my hand. I actually do. Mike, I know that this is our podcast, and it's pretty awkward for me to personally applaud you when we're talking to Lord knows how many people right now, but depending on when you're listening, but I think one of the great things of how Michael approaches microtransactions with his daughter is that it not only teaches financial responsibility. You know, I've got a $20 budget, let's just say 99 cents. Now she's forced to think, okay, 99 cents is equivalent to a dollar. If I've got 20 bucks, that means I've only got 20 microtransactions. Now, not only is she learning money management that before she never had any reason to really learn, so now she's interested, she wants to learn how to manage this, but there's also a scholastic responsibility and academic. So if she comes home with or calls with a bad report card, you better believe she's not getting another $20 card for microtransactions until those grades come back up. So you can really use it in a positive way as long as you close that gap and have that understanding with your young gamer.
Another way to do this for people that don't want to use prepaid cards is open your child a PayPal account and fund the PayPal account. Both Microsoft and Sony and, for PC users, Steam users, you could use your PayPal. And that also teaches them responsibility. Another thing I would recommend is to just, have your child just come up to you and ask you. If they want to download a game, read the fine print. Every game out there will say, from your smartphone to tablet to the console, will say in-game purchases. And do the research. If you could sit on Facebook, this is my philosophy that I always tell parents and guardians, if you could take an hour to sit on Facebook and chat with your friends and family and gossip, then you could take 5 minutes aside to go to the developer's website to see what entails in the in-game purchases. Can the game be played without in-game purchases? Is it required to make in-game purchases? These are things that you want to, invest into, because this, again, could, help your child understand, like, okay, this is a brand new game, everyone's playing it, just like Pokemon Go, but, can these microtransactions turn my child or loved one into having a gambling addiction?
It sounds extreme, but if you have had the experience, or you know someone who's had the experience of a child who downloaded an app or a game and said, oh, but mom, it's free, dad, it's free. And then, first month maybe fine, second month all of a sudden there's a few hundred dollars on your bill that you weren't expecting. I'd like to give an example of how addicting this can be, and as much as I hate to use the word addicting, it is. In marketing, there's actually a concept called gamification. basically all that means is applying the principles of freemium video games and other video games to marketing, so that you tap into that addictive thing where when you reach the next level, you're rewarded or you're featured or you get special attention when you win something or level up. It's used in marketing. It's the root of gambling addictions and other addictions. Notice that example I said about, you know, the download's free. You can download the game for free. It's if you like it, then you have to start paying. But I think the last thing that Michael mentioned is the most important. Talk to your child. Tell them, because when you check that box for the end user license agreement or the terms of use, somewhere in there, in that fine print, it does tell you that you are agreeing that you are of a certain age and that they are not responsible for any unintended or unauthorized purchases, and you will not get any refunds.
Exactly.
And if you don't know that, then you could have a 10 to 13 year old just clicking away 99 cents at a time up to a $1,000 bill for the month. And you're not going to be able to argue for a refund. So you need to talk to the gamer, talk to your child, and say, look, see these transactions? That's real money. That's real life money. And I think you can use it in a positive way, like Michael does with his daughter, with the prepaid card or a PayPal account. But if you do not want any microtransactions at all, and again, there don't have to be. Battle Isles is a great game without having to buy any boosts, any microtransactions. It's a great game. So is Battle Ages.
Yes.
And Pokemon Go. You don't have to buy the microtransactions. So you need to decide what's right for you, what's right for your gamer, your young gamer in particular, and have that be an open understanding, not a surprise at the end of the billing cycle.
Exactly. And you know, again, getting back onto topic, securing your account, you could always call, you know, both Microsoft and Sony, you know, PlayStation Network, and you could always have, you know, at worst case scenario, remove your credit card from the primary account. You know, if you're very concerned about, you know, if you're not able to supervise your child, which most of us are not able to, you know, we have our adult, you know, our adult duties and everything.
We're adulting.
We're adulting, exactly.
By chasing Pokemon in Central Park.
You're not going to let that die, are you?
No.
So, but, you know, and you know, we are adulting, and, you know, at times we cannot monitor our children 24/7. So if you are concerned about your child maybe abusing the microtransactions, remove your credit card. You could easily open a silver or gold account with Xbox Live and just go buy a prepaid card for both Microsoft and Sony and have it prepaid for a year. This way, there's no credit card on file. You don't have to worry about your child making any type of microtransactions. For cell phones and tablets, you know, that, you know, for smartphones, if your child has a smartphone and you have a family plan, you could contact your provider and say, okay, any type of in-game, you know, any type of transactions that are billed to, you know, the provider, that you need to get a text notification. Oh, believe me, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T have no qualms about billing you. But if you set these restrictions, you're saving yourself a lot of heartache later on. Again, a child doesn't know any different. They're gonna, even an adult, they're gonna say, hey, I want, you know, more power. I want more power-ups. And they're going to go into that pattern of just continuously purchasing it without repercussions until that bill comes, and all of a sudden where your $140 T-Mobile bill or Verizon bill is now $600-$700 because of transactions. You know, for people that use, you know, iTunes and everything, iTunes prepaid cards. That's another good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And having it locked out to ask, you know, for in-app purchases. You could set a parental account and say, okay, you know, before an in-app purchase is made, there's a password that needs to be required.
Definitely stay tuned for the blog. Michael's going to put many different options for different types of consoles, whether it's an Xbox One or a smartphone in your pocket, whether it's a prepaid card or notifications from your cell phone provider. Michael will outline for you your different options in staying safe, preventing unexpected bills, and maybe even using this as a good way to teach financial responsibility.
As we're wrapping this up, I mean, I'm going to say that microtransactions help the industry. You know, I'm a fan of the Battlefield series. I'm a fan of the Star Wars series. I'm a fan of Titanfall. Camille could tell you how much time I've spent in Titanfall.
Oh, yeah.
And Battlefield and so forth. But as a responsible gamer, you want to see your favorite games come out. But you also have to understand that these companies, it's not like the days of Pong or Pac-Man. These companies have multi-million dollars invested in these IPs, and they want to make the most out of their investment. Sometimes it is going to be through downloadable content and microtransactions. Again, you could still enjoy these games without even touching a microtransaction, but you're enticed, or even at times pushed hard enough to make that in-game purchase just so you could experience it a little bit more.
I think one important thing to mention, too, is that not all game developers are multi-million dollar corporations. And so many times, like Angry Birds is a perfect example. Those guys were not rich. If I'm not mistaken, they were working out of a garage like so many video game developers
do. A lot of developers are working from their homes. They're working out of Starbucks. They just...
Basements.
These men and women work very hard for these freemium games, and they realize in this economy, the only way to make their money back would be through microtransactions. So again, you know, I didn't mean to cut Camille off, but if you like the game, support the developer. If you if you like the game that much, like how I like Battle Isles and Battle Ages, you know, support the developer. Make that microtransaction. Show the love. Show me the money. Show the love.
And you know, if it is a good game and it's a great game for your child and your child loves the game, I'll say it again, last and final time, I promise. Use it positively. If you know your child loves a game and it's a good, harmless game with, you know, great fit for your kid, get one of the prepaid options or the limited options that Michael will be writing about and has referenced, and say, hey, you know, if you get an A on that test, I'm going to put $5 on that prepaid card or in your PayPal account. Oh, you got it. You know, how many A's did you get? I'll give you $5 for every A on your report card. And you can use it in a positive way to help get a good developer out of their basement, out of their garage, or out of Starbucks, and give them a fair fighting chance in the video game industry, because they can't compete, you know, with those big, you know, Activision and
Electronic Arts. I mean, I'm not knocking those companies. They make great product. But
right, but they have the budgets to come out with a game that you pay $60 up front for, and maybe you do or don't have microtransactions. You know, these are games that are released for free and rely on microtransactions for their survival.
Exactly. So again, you know, to sum this up, you have options such as using prepaid cards. You have the option of having parental locks on the accounts to make sure that no, you know, authorizations or pre-authorizations are made on any transactions. Open your child or loved one that plays online a PayPal account, and then control what is funded into that PayPal account. Prepaid cards from your local Best Buy, GameStop, wherever you shop at for video games. They always have prepaid cards that you could buy and fill into the digital account. If you still don't feel comfortable, contact Microsoft, Sony, Steam. Go online. I'll list these resources in the blog of where you could go to and how to get, you know, more secure your account. Again, this is a way for you to be more secure and be more safe.
And the easiest way, remember, the easiest way is for your child to come up to you and say, Mom, Dad, whatever they call you, I'd like to get some extra cannons for my battlefield, or I'd like to get some extra gems so I can cast more magic. That's the best way. Direct communication.
Exactly. And again, if you're iffy about a game that your son or daughter or loved one is downloading, I encourage you to read up on it. Just type in the name of the game. It's going to lead you to the developer's page. Read up on it. See if it's something that's appropriate for your child.
And remember, you can always reach out to Family Gamer Review with questions about a particular game. And if you do that, chances are you might bring up a title that's actually good for a lot of other people to review. And so by reaching out to us and asking a question, you may be doing a lot of other people a favor too. So speak up, engage with Family Gamer Review on social media, visit the website, visit Facebook, Twitter, you name it. As you can see, Michael's a diehard gamer. I don't think he's ever refused a question yet.
No, never. But again, with all that being said, I thank Camille for being on this podcast. It's very late here right now. And you know, guys, again, you can contact us anytime, but you know what? Be a gamer, be a good gamer, be a classy gamer, you know, and have a great day.